Hello, children. Welcome to Spring Branch Academy, where we are seeking to instill wisdom and inspire worship in every student to the glory of God. We've finished our look at God's attributes. Last week, we considered his holiness, that he is not like us. He is other, in a category all by himself. And all his attributes are holy. Each attribute is unique to God in how he expresses it and who he is. Today, we're going to start our last segment in theology, which is on personal finances, which is managing your own funds that God has entrusted to you. Our first word is stewardship. We are not the owners of our money. We are managing God's money. We need to be content with what God gives us. The symbol of that is the daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Or in Proverbs chapter 30, Agur prays that he would have his portion from the Lord. He would not be rich and he would not be poor. To be rich would be to be tempted to deny God. I don't need him. Who is he? To be poor would be tempted to steal and thus to profane God's name. So out of a concern for God's glory, we desire neither to be rich nor to be poor, but to have him give us this day our daily bread and be content. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. So contentment is a satisfaction with what God gives me, and I'm thankful for it. The two extremes we need to avoid in personal finances are, on the one hand, asceticism, and on the other hand, materialism. Now, these are big words, but I want you to think that you're driving down a road in your parents' car, and you see a ditch on the left and a ditch on the right. The ditch on your left has this strange word named asceticism. Say that. Asceticism. Say it again. Asceticism. And the ditch on your right has this strange word, materialism. Say that. Materialism. Say it again. Materialism. Asceticism is the belief that poverty is piety. In other words, to be really, really poor is to be really, really holy and righteous. Materialism is the belief that money is God. It's the lifestyle of living for stuff. Now, in American society, the country that you're probably growing up in, and the country where I live, we have very few ascetics that think that being poor, like a monk, is the way to please God. But we certainly have a lot of materialists who are living for stuff. And I wonder, children, how many of you dream about, think about, love your toys, your games, your stuff? And really, you're just little materialists who need to learn to be content and recognize that everything you have is given by God to manage for his glory. You are merely stewards of the things that you have. And so God will hold you account. May you be faithful as good stewards of God's resources. Well, language, we've come to the place of reviewing. Today we're reviewing logic. What is logic? What is reasoning? What are the two main kinds of logic? And what are the two kinds of formal logic? What are the falsification criteria? What does informal logic often involve? Fallacies. What is abduction and what is moral logic? Now, you may need to go back and review these, but the main thing I want you to remember today is that logic is the art of reasoning. And reasoning is the ability to draw conclusions from premises, to infer things. It's a gift from God that he has given us so that we could understand his world and understand his ways and understand him. Based on, though, what he has revealed in nature and in his book, the Bible. Our scripture passages today all concern love. The priority of love from Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. This tells us that action alone is not love. Just doing duty is not necessarily love. Love is internal, something in the heart that should be expressed in action. In fact, it always will be expressed in action. But not every action is done in love. I could give to you trying to manipulate something out of you. People try to sell others items in order to get their money, not to benefit their household. So please be careful about confusing action as if action alone is love. Love is a motive. The test of love concerns our deep affections, how we really feel down deep, what repels us, and what attracts us. Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So if Paul says in 1 Corinthians, let all that you do be done in love, Romans says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. It's those deep down clingings. That's what we love. We will not give up the thing that we love. And the love chapter is not a definition. What it is in 1 Corinthians 13 is a description of what love produces. Love is kind. Love is patient, excuse me. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, that is to anger. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's a big list that can tell us if I really love. Because if I love, I will be patient. If I love, I will be kind. Therefore, if I'm not kind, I must not be loving. If I'm not patient, I must not be loving, because love is patient and love is kind. Love is such a precious gift. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that we would pray for love and then pursue it in faith. Last week, well, these 3 weeks, we practiced the Romans road. We're going to practice it again. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Give ear and hear the words of the wise, and set your heart to what I know. For words are pleasant when they arise, assembled and ready from down below. That in the Lord may be your trust, I teach you now, today I must. Have I not written to you 30 words in counsel and information, that you may learn, that you may answer the truth in recitation? Number 29, do not bear false witness. Do not say a tit for tat, I'll pay him back. Children, let's be honest. When we want to get even with another child, we often lie and say that the other child did something when really they didn't. Isn't that true that often when we get in trouble, and maybe it's because we hit our brother or we took something from our sister and they told on us, that then we turn around and accuse them of doing something first when really, before God, we know they didn't do it. So don't bear false witness. Do not say a tit for tat, I'll pay him back. Be honest before God. Remember, an honest answer is like a friendly kiss. In math, we're learning today the quadratic formula. Now, you will not see that until algebra, but I know that some of you older students can memorize it even now, and it'll help you when you get to algebra. X equals negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. That's a mouthful, but I know some of you can learn it, some of you can write it out, some of you can memorize it, and then you go show your mom and dad and say, I'm getting ready for algebra. Divisibility rules, numbers 6 through 10. A number is divisible by 6 if the number is divisible by 2 and 3. So you would use the rules for 2 and 3. A number is divisible by 7 if the difference, that's subtraction, if the difference between twice the last digit, that's the unit digit on the right, two times that last digit subtracted from the rest of the number is a multiple of 7 or is 0. A number is divisible by 8 if the last three digits are divisible by 8. A number is divisible by 9 if the sum of all the digits is divisible by 9. Divisible by 9 is a strange duck. Really fascinating. And a number is divisible by 10, you probably have guessed this, if it ends with a 0. In science, we're reviewing chemistry this week. Chemistry is the study of matter. We learn about organic chemistry, the three phases of matter, the ideal gas law, PV equals NRT, an element, an atom, and what certain elements are, examples of them, protons, neutrons, and electrons, ions, isotopes, and radioactive decay. Ions are different number of electrons, isotope are different numbers of neutrons, and radioactive decay leads to different numbers of protons. We've learned about molecules and molecular bonds, ionic and covalent, and we've learned about chemical reactions, even listing some common ones. And in geography and chronology, we're also reviewing the covenants of the Bible. A covenant is a promise on oath, sealed in blood. There have been 6 big ones, right? Adam and Noah, Abraham and Moses, David, and the new covenant in Christ. We learned about the Jordan River from Mount Hermon to the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea and the various elevations. We learned where the tribes settled and the nations that encircled the promised land. Remember, it made like an acronym GAME from Gilead and Ammon and Moab and Edom. We also learned that there's 3 main regions to the promised land. There's Galilee in the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea in the south. And we learned about the old empires, Egypt and Israel and Assyria. And then when God reset the nations in the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, 4 new empires appeared: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And I bet you remember that little song about that. In the Bible timeline, we're in the middle of the timeline. We're reviewing stanza or parts 3, 4, and 5. Joshua, Caleb, a new generation. Jericho, Rahab, and Ai and Achan. Canaan defeated, then Canaan divided. No king in Israel to keep them united. Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, and Barak. Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson so low. The judges go bad, the people more so. Eli at Shiloh with Hannah and Samuel. Saul, David, Solomon, our first to rule Israel. Jonathan, David, and Faith to kill giants. Absalom, Joab, and Saul in defiance. No king is perfect. David's the model. Temple, then idols, the Canaanite way. God splits them in two, then sends them away. Babylon, Daniel, Ezekiel, exile. 70 years of Jerusalem rock pile. Haggai, Zerubbabel, Joshua, recover. Ezra, the scribe, Nehemiah, the governor. Come up to Israel, build up the temple, fill up the city. Now please, please repent. For 400 years, no prophet is sent. Which sets up the New Testament. John the Baptist, the forerunner for Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, God bless you, children. Until next time, amen.